Led Zeppelin has asked that if we can get a few things straight here tonight. We have so many optic effects that we need to get off tonight. We can't have any chance of anybody even bumping the stage because it'll completely ruin them. Their show is usually runs about an hour and 45. If you can keep the fireworks down, keep everything off the front, Led Zeppelin would like to thank you and do about 3 hours tonight.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Mark. You are listening to the All Things Led Zeppelin podcast. This is episode 6. We have a really special guest for you tonight, but before we get started, you could listen to all our previous podcasts on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Just search Led Zeppelin or Zepp Fan or All Things Led Zeppelin. It should pop up for you. And if you get a chance, please give it a rating and or a comment. All right, everybody. Today, our special guest will be James Cook. James is our first transatlantic guest, but hopefully not our last. James is creator and founder of Led Zepp News, and in my opinion, the only place to get your Led Zeppelin news from. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to his Facebook page. James is celebrating 10 years of Led Zepp News and is here to talk about this incredible achievement. James, welcome, my friend. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Mark. That's such a kind intro, and I hope you have many more sort of transatlantic guests. I hope there's me and Dave Lewis and lots of others come and chat to you.
Right. I hope so, too. I mean, there's a lot of great people. I've met Dave at the O2 show at the Pilot Inn. That was a great experience altogether, just always meeting a bunch of Zepp fans, but just also meeting him as well, and I've always corresponded with him. And talked to him about this podcast. I reached out to him and told him he gave me a nice plug for it. So eventually I'll have him on.
I'm very jealous that you went to the O2 show. That was sort of just before I got into Led Zeppelin. So I've spent 10 years sort of thinking about Led Zeppelin, knowing that I'll never see them live, which is a little saddening, I guess.
Right. And when it came to the O2 show, a lot of people thought, well, they're going to tour. They have to tour. They can't just do one show. And if you know anything about Led Zeppelin, the odds of that happening is pretty thin.
Well, that's one of my sort of mysterious Led Zeppelin things that if I could find out one thing about Led Zeppelin, it's the sort of audition process with sort of Miles Kennedy and I think Steven Tyler as well. And it's sort of bits and pieces have come out in interviews. Right. And that to me, sort of the most under-investigated and undercovered part of Led Zeppelin is Jimmy Page, John Paul Jones, Jason Bonham auditioning singers to replace Robert Plant for Led Zeppelin. That's right. So surreal to me.
Yeah, and I think that's why it didn't happen as well. I think, in my opinion, I think if Jimmy Page doesn't have Robert Plant and it's not truly Led Zeppelin, I just don't think he wants to go through with it.
Yeah, and you can look at that with where he's at with his music career now. You know, there was a time, I think a number of years ago, my understanding was he had some sort of a band together, you know, and there was some sort of Jimmy Page solo project, but it never got off the ground. And I think that's a real shame that we're not out there seeing him live or hearing him recording music.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think the tough thing is, and you get used to it after being a Zeppelin fan for so long, you'll see interviews and he's always, oh yeah, I'm working on something now. I have something, you know, already recorded and there's going to be something next year coming. And that never happened. I have videos back from 99 after the Page Crows thing didn't happen. And he was talking about all this material. I just think he just truly he has a fire for Led Zeppelin, which makes sense.
It is. If I had to bet money, Mark, on what the next or final Jimmy Page project would be, I would bet money on an actual sort of written autobiography. I suspect that if it doesn't exist already, I think that will happen at some point.
I think that would be nice to see. Robert's made it clear that that's not something he's interested in, but I think Page is a little bit different on that aspect. And he likes to I think he wants his story to be known.
Yes. I don't think he'll be living when it's published. I think that is the plan there. When I say think, I'm trying to be very careful with sort of protect sources and things.
Well, we could even dive a little bit more into your sources for this Led Zeppelin news thing you got going on.
Yeah, that's been funny because when I started doing this and it was sort of Christmas Day 2012 and I thought, well, look, no one who follows me on social media cares about Led Zeppelin, you know, so I thought, well, I'll set up a separate account to do it and sort of just post about Led Zeppelin. And sort of over the years, various sort of interesting people have cropped up and have kindly sort of given me stories or done interviews and things like that. And that's been quite useful, just to sense check, hey, is this rumor legitimate or what's going on here? So that's been a real pleasure to chat to those people.
And where are you located at? Are you in London itself or in UK somewhere?
I was in London for 6 years. I lived in London, actually. And then during lockdown, you know, we were paying a lot of money to live in an apartment in London. And I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. So we moved to Northern Ireland in the UK. And I now live in Belfast, which is a really pleasant city to live in. And actually worked out really well because Robert Plant played here a couple of weeks ago. So I saw him at the first date of his current tour. And it's a really pleasant place to be.
Right. The saving grace thing. I have a friend who she went back to, her and her husband went back to Scotland and seeing those four shows over there, and he's just so relaxed that the way he plays with Saving Grace, it's such a, I mean, he's just a great performer, I always thought myself, and he has such a good time. He just enjoys whatever he's doing.
He is really enjoying it. And I saw him a number of times in London when he was playing with Sensational Space Shifters. And you could see over those tours, and I loved that band, I thought they were really special, but you could kind of see he got sort of stuck in a rut with them. And then they sort of unceremoniously, they sort of vanished one day, and then Saving Grace appeared on the scene.
Right. He seems to do that quite a bit. He gets into a project and then it just changes. Even, you know, from the Page and Plant tour, then right after that, he did the Priory of Brian, then he did the Dreamland stuff. So it's, you know, he's always moving. And I think
always moving. Band of Joy as well. There is a second Band of Joy album that's basically finished. You know, that's complete. And there was a bit on his website that said, you know, Band of Joy Volume 2 coming soon to be released.
Oh, gosh, you're blowing my mind. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they sneaked it out because one of the songs from his latest, I think it's his Digging Deep box set, said, you know, soon to be released Band of Joy Volume 2. And I thought, oh, brilliant. There's a second Band of Joy album coming out. Never came out. And if someone asked him in an interview about it, and they reported that he just sort of grimaced when asked about this album. So it exists. It's on a shelf somewhere, but it hasn't come out, which is kind of a fun way of having a solo career.
If you listen to this podcast before, or if you know anything about me, I'm a huge video guy. And I know there's a video from 1985 in Canada where he's on the rooftop and he's talking about the Honey Drippers. And he goes, I actually have Volume 2 in my pocket. And like, he's looking for the cassette. He's like, oh, where's the cassette at? So I don't know if he's playing around or he actually lost the cassette, but
I think with everything Robert Plant says, there's always a bit of truth in it and a bit of a joke as well. And you have to kind of unpick it and decipher it.
Well, okay, so here's a funny thing. Since you're the news guy, I mean, how many times does little things he say get picked up? And you, knowing Robert Plant, you know none of it's true. When he was talking about the reunion and he's saying that he'll be available, and what was the thing that he said? He'll be available in 2020 or something like that. And all these news outlets picked it up. And you know he was just, it was just tongue-in-cheek the way he was saying it.
I really like that. Like, I like that about Robert Plant. Like, there was some comment he made a few years ago saying that, oh, he's busy performing in a garden center. And I think some journalists wrote that up as, you know, is he really in a garden center? It's all kind of very British or black country sense of humor.
That's what I hear.
And he has earned the right to do that, you know, as opposed to perhaps other members of Led Zeppelin that come across perhaps a little more grumpy, you know, and fair enough. Everyone has a different interview style, but Robert Plant has fun with it. You know, if you see him on Saving Grace, he introduces the band as coming from the land of the ice and snow.
I saw
them in Belfast where they played Stairway to Heaven live for the first time, 1971, he said, oh, you know, I remember this venue back when we played some long songs, you know, and he sort of raised his eyebrow at the audience there.
Right. And I think you mentioned something about tuning up all the time, too, which is interesting because, you know, if you listen to old Zeppelin from 69, 70, they're always tuning their guitar and stuff or their instruments. And it's like he still remembers it regardless of what people say. He lived it. He just knows what's best for him. And I think he saves the Led Zeppelin legacy to a point as well. And I think, you know, John Paul Jones on the same thing. They're going outside of their Led Zeppelin and just doing music that they like at their age.
Right. Yeah, and that for me is kind of fun, having sort of tried to follow these three people over the last 10 years, is I've ended up in, you know, some really bizarre situations. You know, I ended up drunk in a basement under London talking to John Paul Jones's wife as he's doing like an hour long instrumental improvisational set to about 200 people, thinking, what on earth am I doing here? And you do go on some crazy journeys then.
Right. And I think, do you feel your location puts you in a better position to get news on Led Zeppelin, like the inside stores?
I think so. I think so, because the band are, you know, physically here. You know, Jimmy Page is between London and sort of outside of London, and Robert Plant's around as well. And their sort of agents and managers are here. You know, not that I've really had much of a relationship on an official level, but there was a time where I could call up, you know, Jimmy Page's PR guy and just ask him questions, and that was really useful just to have a sort of sense check on, hey, is this really going on? And he'd say, no, that's rubbish, that's a rumor, that sort of thing.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Well, and it also helped you for seeing shows as well, because someone like Dave Lewis, who's seen, you know, Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and all them 125 times, I think he said. I mean, being in that location, Robert does a lot of low key gigs and you have an opportunity to go see him.
Yeah. And that for me was, you know, when I lived in London, I was like, I want to see every musician while I'm here. You know, the last one for me was Bob Dylan. I got to see Bob Dylan Royal Albert Hall a number of years ago, and sort of worked my way through. I saw John Paul Jones, obviously have not seen Jimmy Page perform live, but have sort of seen him in person. So I feel like I've kind of ticked that box.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right? One of these days, he's going to do something.
I don't think so, but I would love that to happen.
Right, exactly. Well, so let me ask you. So you created this Led Zeppelin news site, which is awesome. Great for news. I mean, I take it you must be a big Zeppelin fan to want to start this news site. So what is your backstory with Led Zeppelin? You mentioned you missed out at the O2, but so what got you into Led Zeppelin and what drove you to do this Led Zeppelin news site?
Well, I have a confession, Mark, which is when I first listened to Led Zeppelin, I didn't like them, which I feel
nothing
able to
that.
That with you. And, you know, I feel like you're trusting enough, Mark. You'll understand me when I say this. So I'm 28 now. So I was too young for the O2 show in 2007. I was just not into Led Zeppelin. You know, I'd listened to Immigrant Song and I think Black Dog, I remember hearing around the time the Mothership compilation came out. That was on television, quite heavily advertised. So I kind of knew what the band was, but wasn't really into their music. And I remember really distinctly one night on YouTube, really listening to Achilles' Last Stand. And I thought, oh my God, what is this? You know, I remember Googling songs like Achilles' Last Stand.
Really?
I'd never heard anything like that. Up until that point, I loved my two musical loves as a teenager was Jimi Hendrix and Guns N' Roses, which I don't feel any shame in a great band.
Not at all. I love both of those bands.
Very quickly, Led Zeppelin became sort of obsession number one. And, you know, I'd buy rare vinyl and just it became front and center of everything. At the same time, I was, you know, 18 years old, starting to do things on the internet for a living. And I realized there's all these different forums and Dave Lewis's excellent Tight But Loose magazine and Jimmy Page giving interviews to publications. And I thought, well, if I could bring that all together and share that with people, not to make money, I lose money on Led Zeppelin news, to be clear, that might be quite a fun little project. And that's how that all started there.
Oh, very good. Very good. Did you get into the live side of things? Did you, you know, download a lot of the live bootlegs? Or were you just more of the album guy enjoying Achilles' Last Stand and hearing, you know, their albums?
So as with all of us, I think we've gone on that same sort of journey down the rabbit hole where it starts with, you know, in the studio albums and then, you know, the song remains the same. And then perhaps for me, it was the DVD box set and, you know, watching the live footage, which was the gateway into, okay, Led Zeppelin on stage is very different to in the studio,
isn't
you know,
it quite different? Yeah.
And that was really, that for me is the most exciting thing about Led Zeppelin live is the sort of unpredictability of it. And that's why my favorite sort of tours to listen to would be 1977 and 1980, because there's something kind of, you don't know what's coming down the line. You know, are they going to collapse and stop the show? Is there going to be someone from Atlantic Records guesting to play Money as a cover or something? That for me is really exciting because I didn't see them live in their prime. So that's sort of me discovering the band, almost sort of going to shows in my head now, listening to those bootlegs now.
Right. And I always liked the 77 shows because they did introduce the acoustic set. I thought that was a nice aspect.
Exactly. And that for me is really exciting. Like, I've obviously, the 1971 shows up, you know, technically and musically as good as it gets. You know, I can't sort of knock them whatsoever. But for me, it's that if you listen to a 1977 bootleg, it could be pretty bad or it could be pretty special. And that's kind of keeps my interest and makes it fun there, I think.
Right. And for me, when I listen to live stuff, I don't overanalyze it. I don't like, oh, Page missed a note here, because I'm not a musician. I just, you know, you just have that feeling when you hear it, you just like it. Or for me, you know, I grew up with certain, you know, this is pre-internet. So I would get a tape in the mail and I would listen to it over and over again. So, you know, you would listen to it while you're mowing the lawn outside, you know, in your Walkman. That show might mean a lot to you. And hey, it's Led Zeppelin live. And it meant something to somebody, you know, or myself when listening to it. So yeah, I think all live Zeppelin is really cool to hear.
I think so. And I think there are sometimes, I think there's this thing with Led Zeppelin live where there are certain songs or moments of a show where it just, there's something really exciting happening. And I think in the O2 reunion show, which I obviously wasn't there, but when you see it on film, Kashmir on that show, something was happening there, which really worked. In the reunion, where they sort of put out the sort of single camera footage of it, Since I've Been Loving You, in the rehearsal footage, Since I've Been Loving You on that, something happened there where it's, okay, this band is really, happening in the background there. And that's really exciting when you stumble upon that.
Right. So I'll tell you a story, quick story about the O2, because I did go to the O2 show, and you mentioned the end of, or Kashmir, and I will never forget this moment, because it was towards the end of the Kashmir, you know, where it's just going crazy, and then, you know, Bonham slamming the drums, and just totally intense. And I remember I just was mesmerized. I was just listening to it, and I literally got chills. I'm like, this is just unbelievable. It's just mind blowing, something I've never heard before. And it totally brought me back to, you know, listening to those live albums, but it's just like the power that came through. You could only imagine what it was like seeing Zeppelin, but that end of Kashmir just really just blew me away. I'll never forget that. Yeah. There's a few other songs that O2 did, but I've seen a lot of Page Plant shows. So seeing them play certain songs, it's not as exciting as, you know, the other songs they did, but that's neither here or there. It's still them live.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I think I've come close was I saw when Nigel Kennedy played at the Royal Albert Hall in 2017, and Robert Plant came on and they played Kashmir together. Yep. And I had sort of shivers on my body seeing Robert Plant play Kashmir in the Royal Albert Hall. It ended up, he sort of forgot the lyrics midway through, and you can hear him ad-libbing sort of, help me midway through. But it was still a really special moment there.
Right, and he hasn't played that in a long time. I remember that, seeing that on YouTube. So, and he absolutely loves that song. I think that's probably his favorite song, if not to quote Robert Plant, but I think he really enjoys that song.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the one that him and Jimmy Page would agree on, because you sometimes see Jimmy Page get a bit prickly in interviews where they say, oh, Stairway to Heaven is your song, Jimmy Page. No, it's not, it's Kashmir.
I was gonna say, you have to wonder if Bonham was still alive, if they were asking him about Stairway, do you think he would really like it when he doesn't play halfway through the song? I'm sure he likes Kashmir a little bit better than Stairway too. So you just, it's interesting how these songs are epic, but you know, as they go on, how much do they like playing them?
Exactly. And they, you know, come in and out of fashion and things like that. And that's exciting. You know, you see sort of Led Zeppelin. For me, that's one of the most fun things about Led Zeppelin, is a sort of new generation of fans discover different facets of the band. Because if I look at who reads the website, it's half, you know, men in America in their 50s and half, you know, people around the world in their 20s who are brand new fans who care about very different things to other people.
Don't you love analytics? It's so amazing. I mean, since I've gotten into podcasts and doing my website, zepfan.com, it's pretty amazing. It's scary in a way how much people could track you, or all these devices, how they could track you. But from a standpoint of you having the website, or me having a website, it's pretty amazing what you could find.
It's really exciting, you know, when I see, you know, 2 million people have read Led Zeppelin News or something crazy like that.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
You know, and just as a hobby and a sort of passion project to, you know, there's stuff going on. These people are doing interviews and solo tours. Their own websites aren't really keeping anyone up to date. So can I fill a gap there? And to see that that seems to be working is really, really exciting.
Well, and here's what I love about your website, or just your Facebook page, because I, you know, obviously I subscribe to your Facebook page. So when it comes up, I know it's relevant news, where other people may post, as you might find, you know, they'll post, you know, interviews from 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And you like read the headline, you're like, oh, what is this? And you click on it, you have to look at the date. It's like, oh, this was seven years ago. So anytime I see any new thing from Led Zepp News, I'm like, right on, what's going on? So you definitely keep us up to date with everything. So that leads me to this question, talking about resources. So you talked a little bit about, you know, hanging out with John Paul Jones's wife, or calling Jimmy Page's manager. You have, you know, you use Facebook and Twitter to gather your news, but what other resources or internet trickery do you use to find articles outside of, you know, like, I think you posted something from New Zealand, you know, so how do you find this information? For example, you posted some information about the official remasters release back in 2014 before it was announced. So how do you find this stuff out?
That really upset the band. Yeah, no, I can tell you as much as you probably want to know. So that really upset the band, the remasters releases, because they would do all these, you know, interesting albums, and they'd, as you would with journalists, you'd give it to them under embargo and agreed with the journalists, don't publish it until this time. And they never sent it to me, so I wasn't under any agreement not to publish it, and discovered it on Amazon in advance. There are various tricks you can use to sort of discover product listings that aren't meant to be live yet. Yeah. And the record label sort of secretly does it. So I sort of thought, well, and I think every single one of those remasters, I leaked it and upset the band, but there you go. so that was kind of fun. I'm not going to take all the credit. Like, there's lots of people in, you know, Australia, America, Japan as well, who'll send me, you know, local coverage that I wouldn't be able to find out, that's for sure. And I'll sort of post it from there. And the other thing is, you know, Led Zepp News for me led to a career in journalism. And then the awesome. Skills that I was taught in, you know, newspaper journalism, I then took back to Led Zepp News. So things like company filings, trademarks, things like that. I sort of dug out some interesting stuff from looking into those documents.
Oh, that is incredible. So your passion of Led Zeppelin has led you to a career.
Yeah. So I 6 years in London as a professional journalist, or particularly technology, you know, digging into investigative things, you know, finances, stuff like that. And, you know, there's no real dirt on Led Zeppelin to find, but you can dig through and find, you know, hologram projects and 50th anniversary plans that are abandoned, fun things like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that too, because so what's your thought? I mean, was there anything else for the 50th anniversary that was talked about? Because obviously, in my opinion, not a lot came out. I was expecting a lot more promotional stuff and just something. Just give us something, you know. So what's your thoughts on that, and what have you heard about it?
Yeah, so my understanding is there was a lot more planned, you know, and I think you saw Jimmy Page sort of in the years leading up to the 50th anniversary was bigging it up, you know, saying, oh, there's going to be all this unheard audio, you know, hinting at live albums, things like that. And my understanding is that was genuinely being lined up for a release for the 50th anniversary. Yeah. The other thing found back in the day was a really senior executive at Warner Music Group, which is sort of Led Zeppelin's record label, wrote a letter to the council that was choosing whether to approve or deny the John Bonham statue in Redditch. And in this letter, he says, you know, we are planning high profile events for Led Zeppelin's 50th anniversary. And he says there will be extensive outreach to media and fans worldwide. No. So there was something in the works for the 50th anniversary. I'm not going to claim it was concerts. There may have just been, you know, one member pops up and says something. Who knows?
Right. And it could be like the Celebration Day press conferences where they were all three on stage. I think that's the closest we'll ever get. But unfortunately, that didn't even happen.
Yeah. And that was particularly, because I think in the end, we got, you know, a book and a snowboard and a record store day single, which is kind of disappointing.
Yeah. And the snowboard, I mean, I understand licensing and all that, but really a snowboard?
Yeah. And that for me, like for my day job now, I do PR and sort of advise people how to talk to the press. And when I look at how Led Zeppelin sort of announced their 50th anniversary of, hey, there's a snowboard and now some shoes, I'm thinking, oh, come on, you know, give us something here.
Right. Yeah. It was definitely a letdown for sure. I was hoping for more.
The third album as well, they were going to do for the 50th anniversary of the third album, there was going to be the Immigrant Song limited edition vinyl single that was announced. And then I think a few weeks later, they just said, oh, it's been canceled. And with no explanation.
Yeah, do you have any information on that, on what happened?
I can only guess that there was some sort of vinyl supply chain issue. Because several years ago, I think it was the Adele album came out, and every vinyl pressing plant, it was Adele. They were printing Adele albums all the time, you know, and I suspect Led Zeppelin fell into that and basically just had to cancel the release because it was a small-scale limited edition release. They probably weren't at the front of the queue for pressing plants. That's my guess on it.
Yeah, what's interesting about that, too, because that got pretty far as them advertising it, right?
So it was the homepage of the website. The whole page was buy the single, you know, and it was really exciting. Immigrant Song on vinyl as a single. That's kind of fun. Yeah. And then not happening anymore.
Yeah, surprise. But I think being a Zeppelin fan for so long, you almost get used to this. The anticipation, yes, something's coming out and, you know.
Yeah, and that journalistically is kind of because you want to write the good news stories. Yeah. You know, you want to write the film has come out. Everyone loves Led Zeppelin again. They're front of mind. You know, the hologram and the exhibition is here and they don't happen. And I don't want to come across as someone who's, you know, critical or nasty of the band. That's not how I want to come across. But by the nature of what's happening, it can read that way.
Right. Well, and I think in going back to talking about resources and everything that you have, and you mentioned people, you know, outside of in other countries sending you stuff. I think that's the great thing that you're so well known that people send you this information and allows you to collaborate everything together and get it to us fans. And you do it so quickly. And I think that's the beauty of the internet. In the old days, we had fanzines that we used to read, you know, once a month or every 2 months. But now you're getting this stuff out there as it's happening. So that's great. And it's well appreciated from a fan.
Thank you. That's really kind. But I think there's still a place for that sort of slightly longer tail or sort of long form Led Zeppelin content, like Tight but Loose magazine and sort of fanzines and the letter free fanzine as well. I think they're really important and they give a really nice lens on what happens with Led Zeppelin. And, you know, I'm really glad that Dave Lewis hasn't got upset that, you know, I'm still on his turf a little bit, because I really love what all these people do and respect that, because I could never write at length like that. That's right. Just not something I'd be able to.
Well, in being old school like myself, I do appreciate sitting back, reading a book or reading a magazine or, you know, flipping the pages, because we do everything on our devices nowadays. That's part of your daily routine. There was something really exciting getting into the mail, even a Rick Barrett catalog, right? Because you never knew when it was going to come. Here it is. You rip that thing open and you read it from page to page. So
one of my favorite things is to look through old scans of fanzines from like 90s and 2000s and to see how, you know, rumors of the reunion show were reported and, you know, even look at the adverts for, you know, get a scarf in the mail. And I love stuff like that because it's really exciting and sort of nerdily very fun.
Right, right. And that's how we got our information and just, you know, looking at the pictures over and over again. Now everything's just so in our face, which isn't a bad thing, but it just it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, I get that. Like there was, I think the other night, Robert Plant was performing he did a few songs at an open mic night in Scotland.
Right.
And I was kind of disappointed that there was a video because I reported, hey, he was at this open mic night. And then the next day I saw, okay, there's a video. And it kind of takes the magic out of it a little bit. So for me, while it's nice to share that video, I kind of wish that it was sort of mysterious still a little bit.
Right. Because how many of those has he done in the past in the 80s and 90s that we don't even know about? It's always cool to see, you know, no one planning. I'm sure he popped up a lot. And what's funny, as I mentioned earlier, my friends in Scotland seen all four of those shows. And unfortunately, she wasn't at that pub when that happened because she's been trying to meet Plant, you know, because she's met him a lot through the years. So it hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the sort of mysterious side. I remember I tried to, I did secretly film Robert Plant played with Mumford & Sons at this awards ceremony in London. Cool. And they were really, it's one of those shows where they're really anti any sort of filming, like they'd kick you out if they found you. And I thought, well, when am I ever going to see Robert Plant and Mumford & Sons play together? So I sort of stealthily filmed it and shared that online, which I was quite pleased with.
Yeah. Well, speaking of being stealth or something that you don't usually see, when in 2001, I was back east seeing Plant at Boston and Philadelphia and Washington. So we ended up at the Philadelphia train station, and sure enough, Plant was there with his band because they were taking the train to Washington, D.C. So I pulled out my camera and filmed them walking around and stuff. So that was kind of cool, which is funny because we just met him, you know, an hour or 2 hours before at the hotel, you know, and here we're at the train station. I'm like, oh, I don't want him to think we're stalking him. You know, so
yeah, and that was the early days of Led Zeppelin News, was I would share, you know, fans film Jimmy Page in the street or whatever, and I sort of realized that maybe I can do something different than that, that is sort of more journalism rather than sort of tabloid. And I sort of turned a corner away from posting that because for a while that was news, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing too. And I've read a lot of your articles online, and everything's very positive and very professional too, is what I like. So you're not taking. So when I did my magazine, No Quarter the Fanzine, a long time ago, I was.
I didn't know that was you, Mark. That's news to me that you wrote No Quarter the Fanzine.
Right.
No, I had no idea.
Well, I got started in graphic design. I didn't know anything about graphic design, but I wanted to put out this magazine. And desktop publishing was brand new in 94, 95. So I went for it. And looking back at it, it's kind of funny. And, you know, I wasn't a good writer back then. Not that I'm better now, but it's funny. And I was pretty arrogant the way I would write articles or give reviews. So, you know, but yeah, that's what I love about your
site.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that's what I love about your site. It's very professional and just very detailed. So it doesn't, you know, like a lot of, as you know, a lot of people don't side with Robert Plant. Oh, he should be playing Led Zeppelin. He should get back to them. I don't like the new album. Oh, he doesn't sound good. It's like, I don't like that, you know, because everyone has their own opinion. Or, you know, I've been listening to Robert Plant for a long time and live, and I love it. I love seeing him in concert. I love his albums. So everyone has their opinion about it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I think for me, you know, if you want to do that in the comments or on a forum or whatever and have those fights, I'm perfectly fine with that. And whatever my personal opinions may be, I'll put them on a forum, but I'm not going to put them on the site in a news story because I don't think my opinions matter. I'm not a music critic, so I don't think there's value in that.
Right. So for exclusives, you mentioned doing the Amazon one. It sounds like you dug a little bit deep in the back end of Amazon and found those. Anything else? What other exclusives have you come up with, or what other articles have you written that you're really proud of?
Yeah, great question. So for me, the most recent one that was interesting was the Led Zeppelin Experience, which was, to my mind, probably the last big Led Zeppelin project we'll see, and seems to have been put on ice and scrapped, which I think is going to be really disappointing as people learn more about what that was. I think people are going to say, God, I wish I could have gone to that.
Right.
I'll tell you the story of the Led Zeppelin Experience, because it sort of gradually sort of took form over the years. So 2018, Jason Bonham changed his band name, and some people didn't spot this. So it used to be Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. And then Led Zeppelin got in touch with him and said, we want to use that phrase, Led Zeppelin Experience. Can you change it? So it became Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening instead. Not a huge change, but a little one. And then in 2018, Led Zeppelin trademarked globally with their lawyers the Led Zeppelin Experience. They own that brand name around the whole world, which is quite a big undertaking. You don't do that if it's a back of the envelope idea. And then what I really love, they tried to be stealthy about it, and don't try it, guys, because I'll find it. They set up a company in the UK, and the company is called Company 2018, which is such a great vague name, because they're trying to hide right. what they're working on.
Yeah.
And it says on the UK government website, it says it's for the purposes of an exhibition. So what the Led Zeppelin Experience was, and this has sort of come out over time, was it was, I think, an exhibition, potentially a touring one, but certainly in one place, kind of similar to what the Rolling Stones did with exhibitionism, which was really great. And I really love going to see that. So there was an exhibition with rare things, a gift shop, and then also some sort of ABBA-style hologram involved as well, which for me is really interesting. So as of 2018, this was being worked on by all the surviving members of Led Zeppelin and the estate of John Bonham as well. It was a joint project with all of them. And then gradually over the years, it just never went anywhere. And Jimmy Page was asked about this, actually, following my reporting. Someone asked him on stage, and he said there was just a disagreement. Not all the band members agreed on it, so it's not happening anymore.
The usual, right? It always seems
they don't agree. Which is a shame, you know, and that to me is, you know, I have to spend a lot of time thinking what is currently going on with Led Zeppelin. And every quarter, the surviving band members meet and talk about what they're working on. You know, is it new t-shirts, books, live releases or whatever? And they agree and they disagree on these things. And that's an ongoing process. So that's kind of fun to know that that's still happening in the background.
So could it possibly be this is just something that's going to take a long time in typical Led Zeppelin time? Because similar to the Celebration Day being released, that was released 5 years after the concert or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this will ever get off the ground, the Led Zeppelin Experience, or is it just a done deal?
I wouldn't rule it out, because I mean, legally, they still have the company, the trademark, the door is open legally to do this. You know, if I ever see the company shut down or the trademark is abandoned, I'll obviously report it. But as of today, this could become a live project again. Okay. It seems like it's Jimmy Page's baby. And as we've seen with live releases, 50th anniversary plans, they don't seem to get off the ground because Jimmy Page is one out of four votes in these band meetings.
So what's your thoughts on the hologram? Do you think, I saw there was one on Dio and I was reading the one about ABBA. So do you have any thoughts on seeing a hologram Led Zeppelin?
I mean, for someone who never saw Led Zeppelin, you know, physically in the flesh, I'd take a hologram. You know, I'd go and see the ABBA hologram in a heartbeat. I love ABBA as well, and I would absolutely go and do that. So, yes, you know, I saw in the Rolling Stones exhibitionism, I went to see that in London. They do like a big 3D thing where you're sort of surrounded by the band. It's like you're on stage with them. I think it's that sort of thing they were looking at. And you know what? It was really effective and it really worked.
Right. And if it's part of the whole experience, it's not just going to see a concert of Led Zeppelin hologram. Like you said, if there's gift shops, and I'm sure there's it would be memorabilia, it'll almost be like a touring memorabilia event.
Yeah. You know, hence the name of it.
Yeah. So I think that would totally be worth it to go see.
I think so. And so that to me was kind of a fun one to dig into. And then the other sort of article that I'm sort of personally quite proud of was the interview I did with the Dogs of Doom group, which I think is probably the most exciting thing to happen in sort of Led Zeppelin fan community in years. This sort of group of...
For this decade, sure. I agree.
Right. Young people, you know, on the internet who liberated all of this video and photos and audio for basically as a love of the band, which felt like something that mainstream music press just never understood or dug into. And I was glad to chat to them and sort of shine a spotlight on the great work that they were doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they do really good stuff. I mean, I think it's a good idea getting a coalition going of trying to get all this stuff out. And I think what they did by you writing about it and just getting a name for themselves. When they, anytime they released anything, it got picked up by other news channels too, which was pretty exciting. I know as a fan, if I was doing that, I would be, you know, over the moon about it. I think that's pretty amazing.
I think so. And I think, you know, they've obviously had a lot of, there's been a sort of split and a rupture connected to that group. And that's been kind of tough. And I haven't really reported on that. But I think to say, look, they've done all this great work. And just to have that, I was pleased to just shine a spotlight on that, because I think they really worked hard on that there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think by getting that stuff out, it's really exciting. And I know for me, for being a fan and just trading for so many years, the trading aspect of getting New Zeppelin kind of disappeared in the early 2000s. No one was really trading. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of, once everything got digital, it was just really easy to kind of give stuff back and forth. So it wasn't really much of a trade anymore. And they utilize, you know, I'm assuming Facebook and other avenues trying to get, you know, finding stuff, which they did. I mean, that Carnegie Hall show just totally blew my mind.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. And to hear that stuff. And, you know, there was a point where, you know, every week or something, there'd be something coming out and it's relentless pace. And, you know, I know for a fact Japanese bootleg labels hated it because it absolutely killed their business model.
Well, I'm just surprised Japanese bootleg CDs still exist. I mean, CDs are such an old technology. I mean, now everything's streaming. So I understand the packaging and the artwork, because that, to me, that's exciting to collect. But if it's the same show over and over again being released, I mean, how many copies of Blueberry Hill do you really need? Now, new shows, yeah, that's a lot better.
Yeah, and the prices on bootleg CDs, that absolutely boggles my mind. The amount, and people are still paying that. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, my guess is supply and demand. Not a lot of people pay it, so they just raise the price so they still make their money, would be my guess.
At some point in a year, it's going to be sort of one guy who and that's it, and he's going to be paying a lot of money for those bootlegs.
Right. So what other social platforms are you on? You have your LedZeppelinNews.com and Facebook. Are you on anything else?
So LedZeppelinNews.com is the website. There's the email. There's the Twitter account. And the Facebook page is the sort of sum total of it. The Twitter account for me is sort of I post things there primarily. 2020, someone hacked it, turned it into Caravan News, and deleted years of tweets, which was actually really funny. Like Caravan News it was for a few days. And it then blocked the John Paul Jones Twitter account. And I was one of two accounts that account followed. So that kind of annoyed me for a while.
Yeah. So how much time do you spend weekly on your site and getting the news to us?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I try and fit it around the day job, you know, so it might be 20 minutes at lunch, let's say, to quickly tap out an article, or in the evening, and then I'd sort of sit down on a Sunday and send the email. So probably a couple of hours a week. You know, it's not a massive time commitment. I would love to do more and do sort of long form interviews as you do, Mark, which are fantastic, but I just don't have the time to do it, sadly.
Right. And you never know when it's going to come either. Right. So it's like there could be nothing. And all of a sudden a couple news articles come your way. It's like, okay, I have to get this out to the fans.
Right. And I'll have to, you know, use my lunchtime and sit, you know, in the office on a laptop and do it. Like there was a time where I think John Paul Jones turned up playing a show in the Arctic Circle. And I was like, oh, for God's sake, you know, I'm going to have to write this up now. And he would just pop up around the world in different places. I was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. I love John Paul Jones. Such a musician, right? I mean, he's just...
He's great. And I love, there was an interview he did a few years ago and they said, will you ever do a solo album? And I think he said, like, I can't be asked, or I can't be bothered. Which I was.
Well, I remember listening to his Zuma when that first came out, and you listen to that and it just, you could see why he was a huge part of Led Zeppelin. Right. And he's doesn't get a lot of the credit as much as he should, I suppose, but just
super exciting.
You hear that album and you're like, man, I mean, the only thing that can make this better is you got Jimmy on top of it. You know, just
that
riffing.
Would be great. I will say that one thing that people should try and seek out if you can is John Paul Jones's opera, which exists, is complete. You know, there you can hear it if you know where to look. On certain places, there are sort of bootleg copies of a few minute video, you know, which is like a 2-hour opera written and scored by John Paul Jones, which is complete.
I was not aware of that, so that's news to me. I know I've heard about it, but just actually visually seeing it or hearing it, I haven't. So that's good news.
Yeah, so he the score of it is complete. It's never been staged. You can legally purchase the sheet music for John Paul Jones's opera if you so wish to do so. It is possible to do that and play it to yourself on the piano, which I have no ability to do, but I'm sure that others can.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what's happening in 2022, or kind of recap. We're in November 2022, the end of the year is coming. So what exciting things did you report this year that happened with Led Zeppelin?
So as a band, the biggest thing that's still to come and is being worked on is the film, Becoming Led Zeppelin. You know, there is a complete that was screened in September 2021. Mm-hmm. You know, it was completed. It's now less than complete and is being re-edited, but that will come out at some point, and hopefully that will sort of reignite fan interest in the band. So I'm pretty excited for that. I think that's probably the biggest thing still to come there.
I sure hope so. And it's surprising that something like that with all these streaming networks has not picked that up. You know, there's so many streaming networks. There's so much content out there. I don't know if it's the cost or if the content, but whatever it is, I mean, it's a band like Led Zeppelin. So it was a surprise to me that seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, it will come out at some point. My understanding, sort of talking to people connected with it, is just the filmmakers like to take their time to get these things right. You know, they did the sort of American epic series on blues music. You know, they really invest their time in this. And I think that's sort of what's informing the delay there.
Very good. So anything else in 2022? We have Robert touring with Alison Krauss and then Saving Grace, which I have to love Robert. He's always out there giving us something, right?
He is giving us something. He will give you an album with Saving Grace that has been recorded. I don't think it's fully finished, but that's going to be coming out soon, the Saving Grace album. Robert Plant, for me, it seems like he thinks Saving Grace is going to be his next big project. Again, he has trademarked Saving Grace. He has never trademarked a solo band name before. He has done with Saving Grace, which says to me they're going to be around for a little while now.
Well, they were supposed to tour the US right before COVID hit.
Yeah, so that was going to be their sort of big launch across the US. I mean, they've just done Ireland and Scotland. These aren't big, well-attended shows, but it seems to me like at some point Saving Grace are going to become a much, much bigger fan than that.
Right, and you know, like we talked about earlier, he's just having the time of his life. He's enjoying what he's doing, and I think that's very important as a musician.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing coming down the line, hopefully, potentially, the Coverdale Page re-release next year. I know David Coverdale is very passionate about it.
Right.
How much Jimmy Page is doing on it, I couldn't say.
Well, from a guitar standpoint, that's his best album. I mean,
oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And that was the perfect time to be a Zeppelin fan, because you had 93, you had Fate of Nations, and you had Coverdale Page. So on the radio, you'd always hear Calling to You, then they'd follow it up with Shake My Tree. So this was a Led Zeppelin's fan's dream, you know, because they were getting so close to sounding, you know, just putting out really great music.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting, I think, if that does come to fruition and those bonus tracks do come out, because I think there is some really interesting sort of Jimmy Page solo era bonus tracks, you know, Dominoes that he played at, I think, NetAid there, that you think, okay, there's something interesting going on here.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of, from my understanding, there's a lot of video that was shot during the making of that album. Mm-hmm. And there's a clip of, say, Jimmy Page at David Coverdale's house, and they're rehearsing one of the songs, and Jimmy's on acoustic. You know, it's the coolest thing. They're sitting on steps. And I don't know if you ever saw that. To me, I die for that stuff because it's so intimate, and it's just the beginning of, I think it was Don't Leave Me This Way. But yeah, I thought that was a remarkable album. I really did.
I really hope that comes out. I was very worried for a while that went up in the sort of fire of all the sort of tapes and things, because that was connected to that. But it seems that the master tapes did survive. So fingers crossed we do get that box set.
Oh, yeah, with that big fire. Was it Universal?
Yeah. I think that it was included on a list of albums that went up in flames. And my understanding, thankfully, it wasn't. And that was a sort of false inclusion on that list. So fingers crossed, all good there.
Yes, definitely. So with that being said, let me ask you, what is next for Led Zeppelin News? Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Where are you going to take this thing for us?
Oh my gosh. Hopefully it stays where it is, doesn't go anywhere, and I carry on.
You don't have the time, and having a new kid, you gotta...
Exactly. You know, my time is precious. You know, as long as Led Zeppelin stuff continues to happen, I'll still be reporting on it. You know, I don't think there's going to be more stuff happening. I think there's going to be sort of bits and pieces here and now. And I'm excited to sort of show the weird things that happen on the way.
Right.
I wish I could announce some big hologram podcast project, the Led Zeppelin News Experience, but sadly, that's not coming.
We appreciate everything you do for the community, for sure. If you ever want to come back on the show, you have an exclusive. We'll get a podcast out and talk about it.
No pressure on me to come up with an exclusive, man.
You're right. I don't know if you've listened to my podcast. I always wrap it up and ask a couple questions, just like with one or two word answers. So let's kind of dive into that. Let's dive right into that. So, James, favorite LP?
Favorite Led Zeppelin album? It has to be Physical Graffiti. I love that album. I got to go to St. Mark's Place in New York and see the Physical Graffiti sort of coffee shop in the basement. And I really love that album.
Nice. Least favorite LP?
least favorite LP. The one that I struggled with was In Through the Outdoor, and I feel bad confessing that, but that was a struggle to get to love that.
Right, okay. And then favorite Led Zeppelin song?
The one that got me into Led Zeppelin was Achilles' Last Stand, but over time it has become Kashmir. It used to be my ringtone until my wife made me change it.
Nice. And then least favorite song?
Least favorite song. Oh, gosh. I don't want to say Hot Dog because I know it's become a kind of meme, but it kind of is Hot Dog.
Very good. First bootleg you've listened to?
The big one for me was Blueberry Hill. Yep. I still love it.
Classic, right? Every time you hear that. What about your last bootleg you listened to?
Oh, gosh. That would be... What was the last bootleg live album that I listened to by Led Zeppelin? The thing is, I don't massively listen to bootlegs. I'm trying to think what will be the last thing. Whatever sort of has been coming out from the Dogs of Doom group, I've sort of listened to each of those. So whatever the most recent one of those is, I probably sat down and listened to that.
Very good. And then favorite live year?
Favorite live year? I'm going to go against the grain and say 1980. It's something fun about those shows.
It is. The way it's cut down. I enjoy it myself too, going back and revisiting it. And as a Zeppelin fan, when you listen to it, you kind of have the backstory of what they're going through as well. So it adds to that concert.
Yeah, and you kind of see where the band might have gone. And to me, that's pretty exciting.
Right. So favorite solo project?
For me, Sensational Space Shifters with Robert Plant, that Mighty Rearranger album, I think is a sort of hidden gem in his solo discography.
I agree 100%. That is, I mean, Dancing in Heaven and all those other songs on there.
A lot of really good songs, and I kind of miss that era of Robert Plant. And I love Saving Grace. I think if you go get a chance, do go and see them, because there's something really special about that band as well.
Okay. And then we touched about the O2 a little bit, but you didn't comment on this. So should they have continued after the O2?
I mean, professionally and Led Zepp news wise, absolutely yes. I'd have lots of things to write about. Personally, as a fan, I don't think that was the right decision to continue. So I think that was the right thing to just leave it where it was as a sort of fitting end to the band.
Well, perfect. So that's a great way to end it here, James. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Congratulations for the 10 years and keep it going. I mean, we would be nowhere without you. We need all this news. You're so good at giving it on a timely basis as well. So there's nothing like for me opening up Facebook and seeing a new story as far as something going on.
Thank you, Mark. That's very kind of you. It's really nice to know that people are reading it, and that's very kind of you to say that.
Definitely appreciate it. Any last words?
Listen to the Zep fan podcast, read Led Zep news, read Tight But Loose, Lemon Tree fanzine, support all these people sort of with these passion side projects about Led Zeppelin, because it's hard work. You and I both tell people that, so the more that people share their love for it, the better.
Right, and that's exactly what it is. It's not a money-making thing. It's a love for it, so that's why we're doing it, just to kind of, you know, get it out there.
Exactly.
Okay, James, well, thanks again for joining me. You enjoy the rest of your night, and have a good one, okay?
Brilliant. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, James. Well, that concludes episode 6 of All Things Led Zeppelin, the Zep Fan Podcast. Thanks again, James Cook, for joining me and discussing Led Zeppelin news. When you get a chance, go to his website, ledzeppnews.com, or his Facebook page, Led Zepp News. And then if you want to reach out to me for any comments, concerns, or suggestions, you could reach out to me at contact@zeppfan.com. You could listen to all our previous podcasts on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Just search Led Zeppelin or Zep Fan or All Things Led Zeppelin. Other than that, enjoy your evening and have a good one. Happy holidays.